Discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
We are coming to you live from the BEP studio, as well as Dallas, Texas, for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. And we're here to tackle the real, raw, and often uncomfortable truths shaping our world. No fluff, no filters, just bold conversation on all issues and all matters, from power to politics, culture to corporate America. We're breaking it all down live with you without holding anything back. So make sure you're engaged and let's get into it.
Absolutely. Let's dive in. And look, as you're watching on YouTube, we want engagement. Obviously, if you have questions, thoughts, opinions, please share. Come right at us. Let's talk. Again, we're Chris and I are giving you what our thought process is based on facts. Okay, this will be clear, based on facts. Now, you may disagree or have another perspective, all for that. Let's throw it at us. Let's have a conversation, and we'll make it happen. But before we get started, bro, real quick, as you can see, I don't have my BEP hat on. Today, I was at Black Week here in New York City, right, which is great. It's a great spectacle. It's the second year, bringing a lot of Black professionals, creators, business leaders to come and talk about a lot of issues that affect the Black community. A very positive conference. Still has a couple more days going on. And it was fantastic. I sat in Don Lemon's session this morning, him and Walter Greer, who is one of the founders of Black Week. And it was very inspiring, and hearing his story in terms of when he left CNN and then how he started, you know, Don Lemon Live, was fantastic. And also his take on the state of the state, where we are, and why we need, that's why we have BEP and why there's a bunch of other platforms, but we need to be more, the people need to be more active and paying attention to what's going on, but not from a passive standpoint, more importantly, from an active standpoint, right? Because the country is slowly turning. And by the time people finally get up and start saying something, like, oh, it's going to be too late. All right. It's going to be like occupied France. Okay. And so I really appreciate his thought process. I really appreciate his candor. And I agree with a lot of the things that he talked about today. So it was fantastic.
Let me ask you a question before we move on to today's, you know, topic or topics. You talked about going to this event. And this was your first time attending? Was it the first? Was this the first annual, or was this the inaugural
event? Second year.
Great. What struck out to me was that you talked about people understanding the climate, the culture, the industry, the information, not just Black people. Even though this was catered to Black folks, they made a point not to just make it siloed as to we need to have our own view. We need to understand the worldview or the country's view at this point in time in order to really know what time it is. Is that accurate?
Buddy, flat out, right? I mean, one of the first videos that they played was, you know, about Black buying power. I believe it was $40 trillion. I could be totally wrong on the numbers and in terms of where it's going to be and what we bring to the table and how we drive the culture, and not just from a African American standpoint, from a global standpoint, also including our Hispanic and Latino brothers and sisters. And so when you hear that, and then you're in that type of environment, and you see the power that we have, right, and sometimes people are like shocked because they're like, oh my God, I didn't know we have that much power. And more importantly, that we drive so many things, right? Even only being 13 or 14% of the population in the United States, right? And so just being around that and understanding that. So you're 100% right. It's not just for Black people to know, but it's for all groups to understand the power that people of color, Black people bring to the table on a daily basis. And, you know, one of the founders talked about how you know, people, when they were putting this together last year, all people were trying to get them to change the name, right? Doesn't have to be called Black Week. Let's come up with another name, right? Because, you know, they wanted to get sponsors and stuff to that nature. And, you know, and he was like, no, it's going to be Black Week, right? What is wrong with Black Week? I mean, so then this is where we got to, you know, we can't be passive when we're driving that type of, when we're driving an economy like that, when we're changing, you know, if you listen to the vernacular today, all right, there's all the words that people use, they're throwing shade, they're doing this, comes from the Black culture. They're making money off of it. Okay, flat out, think about it. Okay, bro, and all these things, this is stuff that Black people developed. Okay, and continue, and people make money off of it, right? And not just from an entertainment standpoint, but from an economic, a leadership standpoint, you know, entrepreneurial standpoint, all the different things that we are diving in, that we're involved in, right? And how we're, you know, we're trendsetters, and we're doing all these positive things. But unfortunately, you don't see that on the news at night. Okay, they show the urban area. Okay, and then that's supposed to be the face of Black people. All right, and you and I've had these conversations before. Is that at the end of the day, there's not a group on this planet. Okay, Black, white, Hispanic, Indian, you name them, that don't have a middle group that, you know, there's mediocrity. A high performing group that's the highest of the highest that's driving, and a group that don't do anything. That's correct. Human. That's in every group, right?
Right.
But when it comes to us, they only show that. and then so broad stream America only thinks when, you know, words paint pictures, right? So the Black community is only this. And that's why these type of events are very important, not just for Black people, but for mainstream as well.
Yeah, I always thought it was bad that we don't get to have bad apples, right? We don't, everybody get to have bad apples except Black folks. Like we all the same apple. And
we all the bad apple.
Man, all the bad apples. So the whole orchard is tainted. But the moral of the story is platforms like this allow for you to have insight to where you can no longer say you didn't know or you weren't aware. We try to illuminate some of these gaps because I think that a lot of this is by design, Tony. When you say you didn't realize the buying power, you didn't realize it was this billions and this true, like that's, they're doing that on purpose. They're not putting that out front to say Black people have this type of power, this type of leverage, this type of presence in the cultivation and the accumulation of what the American interest is. That's all by design. That is absolutely by design. So we're here to kind of bridge those gaps and give you a little glimpse behind the curtain to see the Wizard of Oz, right? Like, we're letting you know this is all a setup.
But bro, you hit it right on the head. It is all by design. And that's the thing that we have to recognize, right? Is that at the end of the day, if we were so weak, if we were not intelligent, if we wasn't thought leaders, if we wasn't inventors, then why try to hide our greatness? Why try to keep throwing tank traps in front of us, okay, to trip us up? Because if we're no good, you ain't got to do nothing, right. All right? You can just sit back and just let us just, because we're not going to do anything. We should be no threat to anybody.
Right.
If we're inept, if we're weak, if we're not intelligent, if we don't drive innovation, you know, all the things that you can talk about, if we're not good at it, why get in our way? Just let us just, you know, chill. Because if that's the case, you was like, oh, just let them over there. They're not going to do nothing.
Self-check.
Just leave us alone.
Self-check.
But that should always tell you. That, and that's the thing that we have to recognize. And to be fair, broad mainstream needs to recognize too, right? Mm-hmm. Is at the end of the day, it has to be something here for them to keep throwing these, you know, different type of things at us. And what do? We overcome them over and over and over again, right? So That's the thing. And we have to also recognize, because look, let's be fair. We're watching the same news, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing the same images. And sometimes we forget, you know, how powerful we are. And that's why those conferences are very important, okay? Because, you know, it's no different like when we were both in corporate America and, you know, once a quarter or once 6 months, they would have a, you know, a dog and pony show where they get the whole company together. Mm-hmm. And get everybody excited about where the company is going and the vision and all those things. Why? Because a lot of times you're focused in the weeds. You're down looking at the bottom and you kind of forget what you're building and how great you are and all the great positive things that you're doing. So sometimes you need those reminders. And that's what Black Week is about this week.
Okay. Okay. And I, once again, you know, I was looking at something, and I know this is not, you know, we just kind of riffing and doing our thing, but I was, you know, perusing through some things, and they talked about how these deals are being done. When you talk about big business and global business, and this is not just African-American, this is with African nations, right? And so Trump bought the five heads of African states to come in and speak with them, but there's, you know, 50-something countries in Africa, if people don't know. And a lot of these folks is teaming up with Russia and China in their coalition, and we're losing them. And one of the feedbacks that was received was the fact that Africans and Black folks have been painted in such a disparaging way over the years. So what they showed was a clip of a cartoon image of African folks in the late 70s, early 80s. And they had on grass skirts and, you know, they doing all this gyrating and dancing and this and that. And then they showed a similar cartoon of depicting African individuals in Russia at that same time. And the guy was like a philosopher. He had on a toga and he's building, you know, something out. And he's showing a completely different perspective of what you're showing your population as it relates to these people. And good, bad, or indifferent, business is done through relationships. And eventually, these chickens come home to roost. What you've been establishing or what you've been putting out there, somebody's going to remember and going to feel a certain way, especially when you don't have the stability that the United States has had over the years, economically and otherwise, and militaristically. We don't have the stability because we're having wars with Dan and all this other stuff now. So it's going to cascade.
There's no question, buddy. And here's the thing. As a country, you want to promote all your people, right? Because it's the collective that builds the whole. Right? That builds the whole. So when you start diminishing certain groups, that's on purpose. That's for a reason. Okay. To be fair. Right. And so, but speaking of that, man, I wanted to dive into when we talk about hypocrisy.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I want to dive into that. Right. Did you see the thing last week about Pete Hegseth? Meeting with the military generals and admirals and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, that's when they brought them all in to the unsafe, you know, everybody at one time. I think we talked about it a little bit. We hit on it last live, but it was happening in real time, remember? It was like so much stuff is happening, we can't even keep up. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so evidently, you know, he wanted to get all the generals and admirals, and I believe there were highly ranked enlisted people too, sergeant majors and stuff to that nature, right? That were in that meeting. So I think it was 800. And if you add up the collective years of these individuals that's been in the military, I mean, you couldn't even come up with the number, right? So you're talking about the best of the best Americans, right? That were in that room. Black,
Patriots.
White, patriot, yep. Hispanic, women, the best of the best, the people that are leading our troops in all different branches. And then also the ones that come up with the strategy to defend our nation whenever something happens, right? Mm-hmm. These people are 24/7, 7 days a week. And I believe somebody can look it up, but I believe the U.S. military in terms of personnel is over a million people in the military, all the branches, right? Mm-hmm. So think about that. They lead, these 800 individuals lead over a million troops in the United States. And so he called them to this conference room in Virginia, right? And this ain't your, we just got finished talking about it. Our companies, you know, every now and then, once a year, twice a year, get together and get everybody together and get them all excited
pep
about
rally.
The vision, pep rally, right? And right, companies right. doing this, and you, we're right. going here, and all that type stuff, which is great, right? Yeah. This wasn't that. Okay. This was I don't want to say browbeat, but this was someone taking the generals and all these people with all this experience, taking them to task. So here I put a couple of clips together. You've probably seen it, you haven't, but we're gonna play just a couple clips of what the Secretary of War, not the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War had to say to these individuals that are leading over a million troops and have been in the military for decades, okay, for decades. So let's dive into a little bit of what he talked about.
The military has been forced by foolish and reckless politicians to focus on the wrong things. In many ways, this speech is about fixing decades of decay. Some of it obvious, some of it hidden. Or as the chairman has put it, we are clearing out the debris, removing the distractions, clearing the way for leaders to be leaders. You might say we're ending the war on warriors. I heard someone wrote a book about that. For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons, based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts. We've pretended that combat arms and non-combat arms are the same thing. We've weeded out so-called toxic leaders under the guise of double-blind psychology assessments, promoting risk-averse go-along-to-get-along conformists instead. You name it, the department did it. Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading, and we lost our way. We became the woke department.
So, you know, based on the Secretary of War, the United States military, Department of Defense, has become the woke department. So let me hear your thoughts on what he, and again, this was, it was a 45-minute meeting. I just took a couple, a minute or two, right? So I encourage you to watch the whole thing. Okay, so educate yourself on what his message was. Okay, but I know you've been astute and you've followed this. So what's your thoughts, my brother?
Obviously, you know, they keep forcing this concept of the Department of War, which is, you know, since 1947 we haven't used that term because we chose to be more passive. Authoritarian countries use Department of War or use war. In their naming conventions. We chose Department of Defense for a reason, but that's fine. We're not gonna get on that. I'll say this, and I'll start off with this for anybody that's listening to my voice. He did a good job as a speaker. It was a well-prepared and well-delivered speech, monologue. The problem is, I was under the impression, and I'm not a veteran, you are, that you shouldn't, or we weren't supposed to, or it wasn't supposed to, have a situation where we politicize the military, any branch, Coast Guard or otherwise, any branch of the military should not be politicized. So a lot of the things that he did, and this is something that happens, and you see a reoccurring theme, you talk bad about everybody that came before you, good, bad, or indifferent. Because keep in mind, a lot of the rhetoric makes it seem as if the opposition or the left or Democrats have been in charge the entire time. The last 100 years, 200 years, whatever it is, we've never got a chance. The GOP has never had a chance to be in charge and never had a chance to do things right. And now we finally got our chance and we're going to right all these wrongs and absolve all these sins. And that's just wrong. It's just absolutely ignorant and wrong to make it seem as if everybody before you wasn't nothing. And you've come in to clean house and make it all right. And in the idea of, as you stated, A million employees.
Actually, Sal, thanks, Sal. Sal looked it up. 2.1 million.
That's what I'm
including
talking about,
active and reserve troops.
Listen, I look at it as a corporate leader. And what I know is, as a corporate guy, the military produces more high-level capable people to add to my corporation than universities do. Like the training and the education that you're provided when you go to different schools and different things like that within the military to actively work within the military on the submarines, on the like my teammate currently was an ex Apache helicopter pilot. Like this stuff translates. This stuff is important. And it's too important to have him tainted in the way in which he's tainting it, as far as I'm concerned, with the way he presented it, as if up until now, you guys haven't really done anything, or you've been led astray, run them up. Plymouth Rock didn't land on us type of speech. these people have been in charge and doing it the way that it was not only designed, but has been effective for my security, my sanctity. If you take away 9/11, I have no reason to believe the military isn't working. So can you give me a justification as why the United States, I'm not saying it's no room for improvement. The greatest room you'll ever enter is the room for improvement. That's the largest room you'll ever enter. But the idea of, I've not seen a problem with the military defending my freedoms as a citizen. So for that to be said by the person in charge had to be a gut punch, like you said. What say you as a veteran?
Yeah, I mean, so I hear all that, right? And look, he's the Secretary of Defense, right? And has at some point back in the past did a Secretary of Defense get his generals together and have some type of pep talk? Maybe. Okay, I don't think like on this level, right? But did Lincoln get his generals together during the Civil War? It's like, you better, I'm gonna kick you in your ass.
Right.
Because we're losing, right? So, it probably happened, right? Here's the thing.
But Tony, we're not losing.
No. That's not even my point. I'm just saying, okay, had it happened before, yeah, right?
Okay.
Not saying we're losing. Here's my thing. So my thing is this. Number one, when Lincoln did that, it was under the cloak of darkness.
Yes.
Okay? When it happened before, it was under the cloak of darkness.
Right.
All right? Here, this is all performative.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yep.
Think about it. Why you got cameras?
Yep.
what is that about?
Right.
Okay? So it's all performative. Okay? Number two, which is the biggest, and to sit here and say, and you make an excellent point, right? That all of a sudden now, this has been going on for 30, and it's just only the Democratic administration. Wait a minute. His boy was in office from 2016 to 2020. When was that then? Okay, so it was only 4 years. So in 4 years, everything just went to hell. Stop.
Right.
Number two, here's, you know, somebody, there's an old saying, you know, what was that old saying? Some people were born on third and think they hit a triple.
You hit a triple, yes, sir.
Okay, bruh, talking about DEI and people being promoted based on, what do you say, based on race, gender, yep. The first, and all this type stuff, right? Which, when you're in the military, but don't take my word, we got some backup that's gonna dive into this. Mm-hmm. But he's the wrong person to give that message. This dude was a podcast. He was on Fox News, yep. Okay? Was he in the military? He was in the military and the National Guard and mm-hmm. got to the rank of major, okay? He went on a few deployments, absolutely. So but he didn't rise up the ranks to become mm-hmm. Secretary of Defense of War. How did he get that job? How did he get the job, Chris?
He was chosen based off of a select set of skills, most of it Hugh.
A select set of skills, most of like, hey, President Trump, I got your back, and that's it. Right. Okay? He ain't qualified for that job, and he's sitting here chastising and talking to these generals and who all rose up the ranks. through sweat and blood, years, the whole nine yards. There's not a star on their shoulder that was given to them.
Right.
And the dude standing up there who's sitting here talking all this junk, and you didn't even get, he got to major. All right, so let's be clear here, because I know most people don't understand the ranks in the military, all right? And when you hear captain, you think it's the same. Well, it's not the same. A captain in the Navy is the same level as a colonel in the Army or the Air Force or the Marines, all right? Okay. So it's a high, so this, you come in out of college as a second lieutenant.
Okay.
And then after a couple years or a year and a half, you get promoted to a first lieutenant. Then after 3 years, you get promoted to a captain. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And then after 4 or 5 years, you get promoted to a major. And then the ranks after that is lieutenant colonel and then full colonel. Right. Mm-hmm. Which now you run as you're a colonel, you're running a battalion of maybe 5,000, 10,000 troops.
Right.
Okay. Think about it. A captain is running a company of maybe 200 or 300 or 400 troops, depending on how big the company is. A major is an administrator. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lieutenant colonel can run a battalion, and then a colonel, right, is running a 5,000 troops. So a colonel and a captain in the Navy are at the same rank.
Okay.
Okay. So a captain in the Navy and a captain in the Army or the Marines or the Air Force ain't the same. All right.
Okay.
The captain and the colonel, a captain in the Navy has more rank, tells this captain what to do. All right. Right. This person's been in the military
in the
10, 15, 20 years to be colonel. This person as a captain has been there maybe 3, 4 years. Okay.
Right.
This dude became a major. Okay.
Right.
He didn't make lieutenant colonel. He didn't make colonel. Then after colonel, you become brigadier general. So that's a 1-star general. Then you 2-star general, which is a major. A 3-star general is a lieutenant general. And then a 4-star general is a full general.
Okay.
Okay. Then you got joint chiefs of staff and all.
Right.
So at the end of the day, all the way up, and then you become secretary of defense. You're kidding me. This dude was a major. Okay.
Right.
A major.
Right.
In the National Guard.
Yeah, in the National Guard.
All right, in the National Guard.
A lot of these dudes got kids older than him.
In the National Guard. Now, he went to Afghanistan. He went to Iraq, right? So he fought for his country. And then what did he do? He became a Fox News broadcaster.
Right.
Okay?
Right, right.
And so at the end of the day, did I lose my video here? Well, you know, I'm just keep chatting. I'm good.
Oh, yeah,
I'm good now. I'm back.
Yep. Okay.
So at the end of the day, this dude talking about people getting promoted. Are you kidding me? And you're sitting here chatting with these people who worked their ass off, okay, for 20, 30 years.
30 plus years.
Okay.
Tony, let's be clear. Let me be clear on something. It's not a seniority play. These people not only had to be there for X amount of years, they also had to test out.
Buddy, they had to earn their, buddy,
every
stop.
Time.
They had
every
to time. Earn, that. You just don't give out general stars and bars for nothing.
Yep.
Okay?
Enough.
Are you kidding me? You know, there's some people, just to show to your point, and that's an excellent point.
Yep.
Some people retire as a major. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that means they might have been in there 20 years and the highest rank they ever got was major.
Mm-hmm.
They never sniff lieutenant colonel or colonel. Never, because they wasn't good enough.
Correct.
Okay? They wasn't good enough. So these are the elite of the elite.
Yep.
And for this dude to stand up here and then chastise them and then talk about how the administration or the military has turned woke. And bruh, I mean, and they promoted people based on race and gender and all. And you saying that message, this dude, I mean, and I could imagine sitting in that room and you being a general or an admiral and you looking at this dude, like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? stand up here and try to have this conversation when you epitomize, if you want to say DEI is unqualified people, which we know for a fact that's a narrative, all right? But if you want to believe it, guess what? You are the epitome of it.
Right.
Because you would not have your job. You would not be in this position if it wasn't for somebody that you know. That's it. That's the only way you got this job.
That's it.
Okay?
It's unprecedented. It's
That's
unprecedented.
The only way. All right? And now you're going to come in and start talking about they can't be fat generals and they can't be this. They can't be, then the standards got to be this. And who are you? Buddy, I'll be honest with you. That right there, and look, you said it earlier. The military is not about being political. So they didn't clap, and that's what they're not going to do, right? Just like you would see the Supreme Court. Supreme Court in a State of the Union, you don't see them clapping, all right? Because it's supposed to be apolitical. It's supposed to be separate, right? You didn't see them, even though, you know, Trump came and tried to make a rally out of it, they're not going to do that. They sat stoic, right? Because there's supposed to be separation between politician and politics and the military, right? So they did their job. They showed up. They listened. But the hypocrisy, but I'll be honest with you, it just blew me away. Go ahead, bro. It drives me crazy.
No, it was just amazing that once again, he didn't read or comprehend the room because he was speaking to the wrong audience with that message. It just,
buddy,
the good
he shouldn't have said, hold on, stop. Well, hold on, Chris. Hold on, stop a second. Yeah. He should never talk about that message at all. But this is my point. It's not the wrong audience.
You should shut
the fuck up. You ain't got nothing to say. All right?
Like I said,
you hit a triple. You were born, excuse me, you didn't hit a triple. You were born on third base. The only reason you got that job, okay, had nothing to do with your qualifications, had nothing to do with anything about you knowing anything. It's about who you knew. That's it.
Right.
Period. That's it. So he should, if anything, he should be shutting up and not even bring, when somebody brings that up, he should exit the room. He should, you know, immediately start trying to change the conversation because, buddy, you're the last person that should ever talk about somebody not being qualified or somebody that got promoted, okay, based on a lack of qualifications.
You have to feel for and think about the person that was next in line that had been grooming themselves or cultivating their career or the group of people. Let's say it was three or four of them that were really vying to be the next Secretary of Defense. And when you look at their qualifications, their resume stacked up to his, it should be illegal. It should be illegal.
So here's the thing though, bro. I don't even know. And look, somebody may know. I don't know if you can vie for being Secretary of Defense. Okay. My point is, you know, it because it is a political appointment.
Correct.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, but typically to your point, it's somebody who has gone through all these different levels. Okay. And their resume speaks the loudest. They still may not get chosen. All right. Because there's things go to,
but they're
right? To be
boxes,
fair.
Tony,
but
like
they check off
America.
Everybody. They were
like
CIA
crazy.
Intelligence. So let's look at Colin Powell. Brother, just look at it. Don't. I want the audience to do their homework here.
Look at
all the different Secretary of Defenses from Caspar Weinberger. I can name them all, right? To Donald Rumsfeld, to Colin Powell. Get their backgrounds. Look at where they were over here. They were in intelligence. They were over here. They did this at the State Department. They were well-rounded for that job. Right. And I don't mean that you, just because you did all this, it don't mean you're going to get promoted. But you check every box. There's some people never got that opportunity that was qualified. So typically maybe there's 100 people, maybe it's 50 people that's qualified. Maybe it's 20. I don't know. But there's a few that's qualified. And then there's picked by the administration based on who they want to have. OK, that's to be fair. But typically their background is unapproachable. Okay.
Right. Absolutely.
That's flat out.
Absolutely.
It's unapproachable. Okay. Right. Unapproachable. Okay. Right. Flat out. Okay.
Right.
So that's the issue. That's the issue here.
Right. Right. It would be equivalent to me being from Illinois, being the next Pope. Like, I'm cool with the Pope. We White Sox fans. Why not?
Look, you know? Buddy, I mean, you might as well go in there and pray. Right? Maybe you get a shot, right? You know what I'm saying? They go, ah. Next thing you know, you see white smoke come up. Absolutely. It was like, Chris P. Reed. Look, based on that, anything's possible now, right? Absolutely. Based on that, anything's possible. But here's the thing, though. So, buddy, he's the wrong. He needs to shut up. Now, let's just don't go by what we say. I got some stuff here I want to share with everybody. Let's hear what other people say about, here's a retired general. Okay, let's hear his thoughts on this.
Look, I've been doing this a long time. That presentation at Quantico from the president and the secretary of defense is one of the most bizarre, unsettling events I've ever encountered. The president sounded incoherent, exhausted, rabidly partisan, at times stupid, meandering, couldn't hold a thought together. That audience is an apolitical institution. They will be respectful and follow all legal orders willingly. And by the way, it's not just the generals, it was the senior enlisted advisors for all those command. They hold the culture of the armed forces in their hands. And then the Secretary of Defense gave a Rambo presentation, at times pretty good, whiskers, shaving, physical fitness, a first sergeant's talk at Reveille, not bad. But at other times, he's basically calling into question whether minorities and women were DEI or were they based promotions based on merit. Nothing could be farther from the truth. By the way, the group he was talking to have been in combat for 20 years. Their sons and daughters served. A bunch of them got killed and maimed. It was a highly inappropriate use of the armed forces, never mind the unsettling things about using military force in American cities. A very strange day in American life.
And we didn't even get to that. Right. In terms of talking about we should. And that's what Trump said. Right. Yep. Is that we should use the American cities as training grounds. I mean, buddy, this thing. So you just heard from General. I forget his last name. Barry. I forget his last name. OK. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, bruh. And he was right. Did he say a couple of things that make sense about making sure the troops are in top shape and stuff to that nature? Okay, yeah, but you didn't need to bring them there for that. Right. Like he said, a drill sergeant says that. Right. I mean, but here's the kicker. If he said it in private, nobody would know.
Right.
Okay? They did it on purpose to have the cameras and stuff there. That was on purpose.
Right. I'm going to tell you this story, and I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. As I stated to you, my teammate at my job went to West Point and was an Apache helicopter pilot. And he said when there was conflict and they were wherever he was in the conflict, one of the leaders was a gentleman who had lost his leg in Vietnam. He was a general, had lost his leg in Vietnam, and was an apt and capable leader. But based on what the Secretary of Defense stated, he wouldn't be applicable to lead in this country at this point in time because of his dismemberment.
Lack of physical ability. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, this concept of, and this, the man that just spoke, the general, the former general or the general, basically stated that they will follow all legal orders. The gray line of what's legal, Tony, is where my fear is starting to emanate, because there's so many things that are showing up, whether it be rounding up people, doing all these things that are skirting the law or the sentiment of the law. And I don't know how legal it is to sic the military onto U.S. soil for no good reason. I don't know the reason.
State. The only time that used to happen is when cities would be rioting, okay? And the governor of that state would request that Absolutely. The federal troops, or they federalized the National Guard.
National Guard.
Right? Yeah. And that would happen to push back unrest. But that's only when the governor of the state said, I need help. Okay? And so for Trump, just to be, I'm sending people to Mississippi. Or I'm sending people to Portland. Or I'm sending people to Chicago. Or I'm sending people to Memphis. Or I'm sending people. That's just, buddy, these are, this is to cause division. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is, you're going to see this. Trust me. I want everybody to remember this day. What is it? October 7th? 2025. Yep. I guarantee you. In the midterms, or when the when it's time to vote for another president, you're gonna see these images and campaign commercials. President Trump is the only person that cares about crime. He was willing to send troops to Portland and put on these other people. Watch. That's what this is about. Okay, it's a performative act. Right. And look, some of it is like, let me throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. Let me see if the courts let me do what I, you know, do this. I don't think they will, but let's see. Because if they do let me do it, then I can, you know, so there's a lot of that with that too. It's but here's the thing. You talked about some of the a general who was disabled. Let's hear from some other veterans about what they thought about this speech.
Many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons. Based on their race, based on gender quotas.
The broader complication and the fear that I have in a moment like this is we are a nation that wants to fight our wars with all volunteers. And we should want every able-bodied American who is willing and wants to serve their country to raise their hand and do so. That can only happen if they feel like it's a place also worth working.
Based on my own time in the military, it was like, oh, here we go again. Every so often, we've got to go through one of these things where somebody in a position of power thinks women are wrecking the U.S. military.
Those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is.
We have just over time evolved to, especially like with women, there have become more and more women in the force. It's taken some time, but some of those women have climbed to the top ranks. I guarantee you those women had to earn the respect of the men who are serving alongside them, but oftentimes male commanders who had a say in whether they got their next promotion. And so to suggest that there are like women who are getting special favor in today's military is just not true.
Buddy. So think about it. And the lady that when it says she was a retired Navy captain. Mm-hmm. So again, just so we're clear here, a captain in the Navy is not the same as a captain in the Army, the Marines, and the Air Force. So she was like a colonel in that in the other branches. So she ran a ship. She was the captain of the ship or an aircraft carrier, which it might be 5,000. So you're talking about a huge responsibility. They just don't give those ranks and give those duties just to anybody. It doesn't happen. and to sit back and say that it does or it has happened. And to going to your original point. It's only happened in the last 4 years,
right?
So the last 4 years, the thanks, Sal, 2.1 million people in the military, right? The last 4 years, the leaders have pretty much destroyed it all, just promoted people randomly based on race and gender and all this type of bullshit. That doesn't happen. Think about that for a second. You got 2.1. It takes longer to create orders just to move them from one base to another base to get people promoted. Buddy, are you kidding me? It just doesn't happen. I'm sorry, man. And so it just drives me crazy. And but why are we chatting about this? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I wanted to bring it up. Okay. Because there's people that believe it, who's never been in the military. Who don't know how it works, okay? Yep. And at the end of the day, they're like, see, well, that was a great speech because he's rounding them into shape. And and don't know what the hell they're talking about.
The danger is that the people who don't know any better just heard the boss say that they don't deserve to be where they are because he lumped it up and made it so nebulous that you can, on your own, pick and choose the people of color or the women or the people that are overweight, anybody that didn't look just like him or fall into line with what he was going for, didn't deserve necessarily to be. He cast aspersions on their accomplishments. So if I'm a novice, if I'm a regular person, I'm saying that person didn't deserve his job, just like in the corporate sector. That person didn't deserve his job anyway. I mean, she probably slept her way to the top. Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the other thing, though, bro. Here's the other thing. Let's be fair, though, too, right?
Okay.
So you the same weight you were when you were 21 years old?
Right. Exactly.
All right. Exactly. So think about it for a second. Most of the people that was in that room have been in the military 30 years.
Absolutely. 30 plus. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's be fair. So when they came in the military, they were 21, 22 years old.
Yep.
Now they're 50. 52, 55. Yep. Okay. They the same weight that they were before?
Same 40 times, Tony. Same 40 times, same
They
miles.
Can do the same number of push-ups. They can do the run 2 miles and get out of here. Just to have that comment, think about that for a second. Makes no sense. Okay? Makes no sense. These are the leaders. Most of them ain't even in the field. Okay? They're leading from headquarters and a whole night. They ain't out running. But just to bring that up to your point, makes no sense. Okay? It makes no sense. Hold on, but I just want to put up what Sal was saying. What did you say here, Sal? Let's put it up on the screen. Where is it? Oh, here it is, right here. Sal was saying his speech was about the woke policies. He targeted DEI, saying no more identity months, DEI offices, and dudes in dresses. And again, are they dudes in dresses? Here's the other thing.
I had seen that camo.
So you ever see Full Metal Jacket? You ever see the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, and here's from Sal: wrong message, wrong time, wrong audience. Me personally hearing this from Hexus, I was upset and offended. I don't know what FID. You see the expression of these high-ranking military members? What a joke! Totally agree, Sal. Right? Totally agree. But if you saw Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket was probably the closest military movie that I've seen. That was the closest thing to me in basic training.
Okay.
Okay. So Full Metal Jacket was pretty accurate. Okay. Now I wasn't in military when they went to Vietnam. Right. Okay. And that's when that was based on getting the troops ready to go to Vietnam. But everything, I'll be honest with you. Even the drill sergeant the actor, he was perfect, right? And that's how basic training was. If you haven't seen Full Metal Jacket, I recommend that you see it. So why do I bring it up? When I and it showed in there. There's always a heavy set dude that's in basic, right? And we had one when I was in the basic training, right? And what do they do? Okay, you're running and that person's got to keep up. And if that person don't keep up, the whole company got to go get them. And we got to do extra laps and we're doing extra push-ups and we're doing all because of him. All right. And then so in Full Metal Jacket, they showed what happens when my man, the drill sergeant taking it out on everybody else because the fat dude can't make it. They did the blanket party. I've been there. I've seen, did a blanket party on dude. Hey, so I'm talking about when you talk about health and fitness.
Right.
Okay. This is my point here. This is already being done.
Right.
Okay. At levels. Now, look, I haven't been in the military in years. So, I doubt it, right? Because you got to be sharp the whole nine yards. I just think some of that could have been said in a memo.
Right.
Okay. But he did it to have it on TV so they could promote, that they're trying to get the military in tip top shape, right? And that it was horrible prior to them taking over.
So you brought up the terms health and fitness. And the thing that I have no choice but to think about is mental health and fitness. And I'm going to take a page out of your book, The Hunt for Red October. Gene Hackman and was Denzel in that? Was that the one with Denzel and Gene Hackman? where he said, sir, it was the submarine. I think it was the ship. And Gene Hackman was in charge.
No.
He was like, I am relieving. Go ahead.
That was Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide.
That was Crimson Tide.
That was Crimson Tide. Yeah.
Crimson Tide.
I am relieving you.
When Denzel relieved Gene Hackman. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Because the mental fitness of this leader is in question.
Right.
As that general said about Trump, it was incoherent. It was obviously divisive. It was the leadership, the mental fitness is in question. I understand they're trying to come down on them for physical fitness or whatever the case may be, but nothing that could be questioned had a mental component to it. The reality of it is the leadership now has questions about their mental fitness and ability to command. So just like in Crimson Tide, I'm not saying somebody should take their career by the horns and walk up and say, I am relieving you of duty. But that's what came into my mind, that has to be in the back of the mind of what are my rights or what are my opportunities to say that you are unfit to lead this country in this capacity.
Yeah, here's the thing, bro. They already knew that. So this is nothing that's going to shine a light to say that they're unfit. People knew that before. So that this ain't you know, something. It was performative, mm-hmm. and it was done on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. To create a narrative, right? And that's what it was, okay? But before we go, man, I just want to read Pete Hegseth's background. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's just, and I want people to look this up. This is on CNN. All right. Pete Hegseth's Fast Facts. And this was done September 1st, 2025. All right. So let's look at this here, right? He went to Princeton, graduated 2003, went to Harvard, graduated, got a master's 2013, military service, Army National Guard from 2002. To 2021, and he only got to the rank of major. That is my point. So he was in almost 20 years and only got to the rank of major. Okay? So that's not on the same level as a captain in the Navy. Okay? So he earned 2 Bronze Stars medals. Great for him being in the military. He served his country served his country with honor, right? From 2007 to 2012, he was for the Vets of Freedom. He was the executive director for the Vets of Freedom. In 2012, he ran for the U.S. Senate seat before dropping out. In 2014, he joined Fox News as a contributor. All right? In 2017 to 2024, he was named co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. All right? In 2019, he privately encouraged President Donald Trump to pardon some of the U.S. service members accused of war crimes, according to a person familiar with the conversations. 2021, he is removed from the inauguration duty for the U.S. President Joe Biden as a National Guard member because of what he describes as a religious tattoo of a Jerusalem cross. All right. He resigned from the military November 15, 2024, all right? And then he was flagged by a fellow service member as a possible insider threat due to, I don't know, Deuce Voss, whatever, which they, I guess, people thought the tattoo on his right arm was a symbol of white nationalists, okay?
Okay, okay.
Oh, okay? November 12, 2024, President-elect Trump announces him as the nomination for Secretary of Defense. Please, just based on what the background I just read, what qualifications did he have to be Secretary of Defense? None. None. And he's chastising our admirals and generals. That, uh-huh. buddy, I'll be honest with you. And then talking about people being promoted because of DEI and woke policies. Buddy, he is the wrong person for that message. So final thoughts, my brother. You got the final word. Final thoughts.
Man, I just, once again, we keep imploring folks to pay attention and read the tea leaves. And we don't want this to be a Nostradamus type of podcast, but we on a collision course to all the stuff that we're saying is going to end up happening. They're conditioning us. They're grooming us for some of these things that are going to come about whether it be look at what he did with this and look at what happened here, and we had to take these drastic measures. But I will reiterate, I don't know all the inner workings, but the results of the United States Armed Forces, I am satisfied with as far as my freedoms being defended.
Buddy.
From a threat of internet, domestic or international, I don't feel like I worry about getting in a bunker or taking up arms to defend myself. I feel like those generals, those leaders in that room are qualified to act in my behalf as far as protecting myself, my family, and the way that this country is established from a militaristic perspective. And so to attack them or to besmirch them or to diminish the investment that they've made, not only from a time perspective, a life commitment, families moving all around. This is what you hear about all the time. You know, you get in there and you make a career of it. Your family's all over the place and you're going and doing things internationally. You have a perspective. You gain a level of empathy. You have a broader understanding. To rise to that level, as you stated, the Colin Powells and the Schwarzkopf, all these people are in situations where they have enough experience, knowledge, and wisdom to act on behalf of the benefit of the country. And I do not believe what he did there, number one, by gathering them all publicly and scheduled into one unified space. Golly, that somebody should have vetoed that. But even beyond that, to sit there and diminish their accomplishments and chastise them publicly and openly was a black eye on what people have died for and what people have stood for centuries.
Buddy, 100%. And I would ask the audience as we close, please, I want you to think it through and look it up. But what military event that the United States was in over the last 15, 20 years that went awry because they was not in shape? They did not follow orders. They are you kidding? They killed bin Laden. I mean, we can go over and over of all the things the military has come up with over the last 20 years and provided excellence into wherever yep. we sent them, from Afghanistan to Iraq to all the different places, even places that we probably don't even know. You would hear right. it all on the news. Now, I remember, and we got to go, but I remember back when Carter was president and they were trying to free the hostages in Iran. Mm-hmm. And they sent the Delta Force there and the planes collided, helicopters crashed, and it was the biggest debacle ever. Okay, it was all over. And the military, they were like, our military is weak. I remember when Kennedy, I wasn't around, but when Kennedy sent the military for the Bay of Pigs. Okay, mm-hmm. So anytime something goes wrong, we would have heard about it. And then that would have been a lightning bolt to say, oh, we may not be as sharp as we're supposed to be. You haven't heard none of that. Okay. And so I ask everybody, go ahead, buddy.
In defense of that, I have heard of some buffoonery from Pete Hegseth, who sent out a text of a bombing. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up. Think about that. Think about that. All right. And to your point, he was the one. Okay. So look, man, I mean, but nobody remembers that. Right? Nobody brings that up. Okay? They go see this and look at it as a fact. All right? But listen, we want to thank you for, you know, again, coming and watching and participating in another episode of BEP Live, a Black Executive Perspective podcast. We ask that you continue to support us. Don't forget to check out this Thursday, Need to Know by Dr. Nasinga Burton. Dr. Burton dives into the most crucial and alarming topics that you need to stay abreast to. You need to know about. Check her out every Thursday here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
And then we implore you to check out Pull Up Speak Up. Don't miss the episodes of Pull Up Speak Up, where we have a roundtable of panelists that go into the hard-hitting topics, just like this one, and give their perspective on things. Tune in and join the revolution. You definitely want to do it.
And absolutely.
Lastly,
go ahead, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'll go into it. But lastly, it is a passion of mine, and it's a privilege of mine to implore you to activate our call to action, which is to incorporate LESS. Our goal for less is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we're asking you to embrace less. The L stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial, cultural, social nuances. So therefore, you're not just walking around in the dark.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned about different people that you weren't privy to, now you should be more empathetic to what they've gone through because you can put yourself in their shoes.
And the first S stands for share. Share your insights, enlighten others. Make sure that you do everything you can to cast a wide net of information, because with the things that are going on now, we need that more than ever.
Absolutely. And the final S stands for stop. We're asking everyone to help stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So if it's as simple as if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe say something that's inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, the lunch table, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We all will see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
Make sure you check out our previously recorded episodes of A Black Executive Perspective podcast. Tune in for our future episodes. Tune in here Tuesdays for us to chop it up with my man, Sal. Sal, thank you so much for contributing. Other people, don't be shy. Get in there. Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter. Leave us a review and let us know what you'd like to hear about. Subscribe wherever you can. And where else can they find us, Tony?
My friend, they can continue to follow us and find us right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at A Black Exec. For my man, the co-host with the most, my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed. I know he's a little upset that his Baltimore Ravens are choking the bit right now, but he'll get over it. We'll still love him. We love you. I'm Tony Tidbit. We're going to cut out. Keep watching us. Keep supporting us. And right now, we love you. And guess what? We're out.